Hey, speaking of Dan Pashman, we just had a very heated discussion about the fact that when he gets married to his current fiance, that she's going to want to stay kosher and make his home kosher. Hey, Pashman, how are you going to deal with that? How are you going to deal with that, man? Dan?
I don't know. We'll have to work on it, you know?
To work on it? Do you know what kosher means? You have to have separate toilet seats or something.
I mean, I'm willing to compromise. You know, I'm willing to compromise, but there's certain lines. You know, I mean, this is the United States of America.
Yeah.
And, you know, cheeseburgers are pretty damn American. That's all I'm saying.
It sounds like there's going to be a whole new series of Pashman rules revolving around kashrut.
Those won't be Pashman rules.
No, but they're going to be the Pashman interpretation of the laws of kashrut. Is that how you say it? Kashrut?
I think that's the Hebrew way
to say
kasulim. It. Yeah, that's another word.
Also a kasulim. Mm-hmm. Kashrut.
You turned into David Letterman.
I know.
Badafuko.
Hypnotized. Hypnotized. All right, well, look, let's go back. And now I need the time machine thing. You know, like kashrut. Look, we're going to hear Pashman. Dan Pashman was known on our show to have very specific ways of doing things. And now we're going to give you a little montage of Pashman's rules. Modern life has grown increasingly hectic these days, and we here at Morning Sedition want to help. Now in the studio is a man known to spend an inordinate amount of time pondering subjects both large and small, so much so that we've decided it constitutes a philosophy, which we call Pashman's Rules. Here now is the man who some people think is one of the major powers here at Air America Radio, producer Dan Pashman. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing? You got to approach Thanksgiving understanding that the goal is to eat as much as you can possibly eat in one day.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So first of all, eat Thanksgiving dinner early so you can eat again later.
Right.
Wear loose pants.
Right.
And don't be afraid to take off your pants if they're too restrictive.
You take off your pants at the table at what point? And then what happens? You take off your pants.
Well, I don't consider it a successful Thanksgiving dinner if I don't end up lying on the dining room floor.
Burping.
With the dog licking my face, wondering if I'm okay.
Go ahead, Riley.
Never mind. I'm not going there this time.
All right. So that's fine. Now let's talk about plate etiquette. Now, so you lay on the floor. Okay, that's all good.
That's the end part.
I have a feeling that your family revolves around you somehow.
No, that's not really true. It's a team effort of the Pashman family.
Okay, so you're talking that mom, dad, Howie are all laying on the floor naked by the end of the meal? Just holding their stomachs?
It's like Thanksgiving at Abu Ghraib.
Yeah, and the dog is like up on the table licking the plates.
Oh, that's a successful. Man, I can see that.
There's a few tips for dealing with past hors d'oeuvres, because if you're in the wrong position or if you approach it incorrectly, first of all, you might not get to taste all the hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, this falls under the category of Pashman positioning, as we learned from when you get to a concert and you want to get the right seat. Pashman positioning is very important in any social situation.
So true, Mark. It's so true. And I've actually been on the other side of the past hors d'oeuvres as a waiter. I have been the one passing the hors d'oeuvres, so I know both sides of the coin here. And I can tell you that the biggest key, the most important thing, when you're playing the sport, the game of past hors d'oeuvres, you've got to find out where the hors d'oeuvres are coming from.
You're the source.
Find the kitchen.
Find the kitchen and hang out there. If we have time later on, I'll tell the story of my Hanukkah miracle of motivation, senior year of college. That was a great moment.
I think you have to tell that story right now.
Okay, well, then I will.
Yeah.
My motivation in college waned. By the time I was a senior, I felt like I'd mastered college, and I was almost offended at professors who dared make me do work. Because I felt like I know how to give you what you want to get good grades, and so why are you wasting my time?
This is another window into the passionate soul
that
makes me all the more distrustful of his confidence.
And your parents paid how much to send you there?
Enough. So I was out of motivation. My first semester, senior year, I had completely retired from taking notes at all.
Yeah.
I would just sit in the back of the room doing a crossword puzzle, but I was still getting good grades. And so, but that semester, I was like so far behind. I was slammed, and I had not done any work.
Yeah.
And it was the beginning of finals, and I had one night to write a 10-page paper that I had not started.
Yeah.
Wrote the paper in one night. It was the first night of Hanukkah.
Mm.
And I wrote it, and it was a phenomenal paper. I ended up getting an A on it. But
did you keep the lamp going all night long with the oil that was only supposed to last?
It was the Hanukkah miracle of motivation. You see, what happened, Mark, was that I thought this was my last great stand as a student, one night of writing this 10-page paper in one night and making it a really good paper. But the motivation lasted for 8 miraculous nights. And I ended up acing all my finals the whole rest of the week and getting the best grades I ever got in any semester.
You know what I like about you, Pashman?
What's that?
Your ability to mythologize yourself. That there's this, like, the unfolding tale of Pashman, the myth of Pashman.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I call the Hanukkah miracle of motivation.
Oh, wasn't that sweet?